Friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome to worship today. We have a special presentation of music following Jerry's wonderful message. So come and worship with us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. We light the Christ candle, grateful and overjoyed that the God of love abides in us. Jesus said, "Love one another." We come to worship God, who is love, that we may learn to love one another. Jesus said, "No longer do I call you servants. Now I call you my friends." We come to worship God, whose friends we are in Christ. Let us sing praise to God and live in love and friendship through Jesus Christ. Friends, would you pray with me? Almighty, all-merciful God, through Christ Jesus, you have taught us to love one another, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and even to love our enemies. In times of violence and fear, let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts so that we may not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Help us to see each person in light of the love and grace you have shown us in Christ. Put away the nightmares of terror and awaken us to the dawning of your new creation. Establish among us a future where peace reigns, justice is done with mercy, and all are reconciled. We ask these things in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, come and see the goodness of God poured out over your life as we bring our sins into the light of his great love. Let us pray the prayer of confession. Gracious and holy God, you are the source of all true love, and your word calls us to love one another because love is from you. Yet we confess that our hearts are often cold and self-centered. We have failed to love others with the same selfless, sacrificial love you showed us when you sent your Son to take the burden of our sins. Forgive us for the times we have held grudges, ignored the needs of others, or narrowed our affection to only those who love us in return. We take for granted your boundless love, failing to let it flow through us. We admit that we have tried to know you, yet failed to love our neighbors, bringing your love into disrepute. Because you loved us, we also ought to love one another. We pray that you would forgive our shortcomings. Holy Spirit, transform us. Remove our fear and selfishness so that your love may be made complete in us, and that our love for others may reflect you to a world that has never seen you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Friends, hear the good news. The love of God is not distant or withheld. It meets us exactly where we are, in our doubts, in our regrets, in our longing to begin again. God doesn't hold our past against us, but gently calls us forward into new life. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven, renewed, and set free. This is grace, not something we earn, but a gift freely given again and again. So receive this gift with open hearts. You are forgiven, you are loved, you are made new. Thanks be to God. Amen. And because we've received God's peace, we are called to share it with one another. The peace of Christ be with you all.
I'm going to read to you this morning from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. God's love and ours. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Scripture reminds us again and again of the heart of God's message to humanity. In the Gospel of John, we hear these familiar words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." And in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we read that great passage about love. Love is patient, love is kind, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. If there's one theme that runs through the whole story of faith, it's this: God is love. Not power, not judgment, not rules, love. And yet, when we look at the world today, it often feels as if love is in short supply. We see the conflict between nations. We see anger in politics. We see harsh words on social media. We see families divided and communities struggling. Sometimes, even in our own lives, we carry hurts or disappointments or grudges that quietly grow inside of us. The truth is, the world doesn't need more technology, more wealth, or even more knowledge. The world needs more love. And not just any love, the kind of love that comes from God. God's love is different from the love we often experience in everyday life. Much of human love can be conditional. I'll love you if. I'll care about you as long as. But the love of God doesn't come with fine print. God loves us before we earn it. He loves us before we even fail. God loves us when we feel unlovable. Now think about the stories that Jesus told. The shepherd searching for the lost sheep. The father running to embrace the prodigal son. Jesus eating with those whom society has rejected. Every one of those stories tells us the same thing. God's love seeks us out. It doesn't wait for us to be perfect. It doesn't stand back with folded arms. God's love moves towards us. And that love is not just an idea or a theological concept. It is something meant to be experienced. Many of us can recall moments in our lives when we felt that love very clearly. Perhaps in a time of grief, when comfort came unexpectedly. Perhaps in the kindness of a stranger. Or in the quiet assurance of prayer. Those are moments when we glimpse what God's love looks like in the real world. Interestingly, some people who have had near-death experiences, which are moments when they came very close to death and later recovered, often describe something similarly striking when they speak about what they encountered. My wife Julie and I became fascinated by reading many of these books on near-death experiences. Many of them say the overwhelming reality that they experienced was love. One woman who survived a cardiac arrest later described her experience this way: "The light I encountered was the most loving presence I have ever known. It felt like being completely understood and completely loved at the same time." Another person who nearly died in a car accident said something very simple but profound. "What mattered there was not what I owned or had achieved. The only thing that mattered was how much love I had given." And a physician who studied hundreds of these experiences once summarized what many people reported. Again and again, people say they encountered the presence of unconditional love beyond anything that they had known on earth. Now, experiences like these are not the foundation of our faith. Our faith rests in God, revealed through Scripture and through Jesus Christ. But it is interesting, isn't it, that when people describe glimpses of what they believe lies beyond this life, the word they return to most often is love. It echoes what the Bible has been telling us all along: God is love. The reason the world needs more love is simple. Love heals what fear divides. Fear builds walls. Love builds bridges. Fear says, protect yourself. Love says, reach out. Fear asks, what do I lose? Love asks, how do I help? When Jesus spoke about loving our neighbors, he wasn't speaking about a polite feeling. He was speaking about a way of living that transforms communities. Imagine what our communities would look like if people practiced just a little more patience. Imagine workplaces where kindness mattered as much as productivity. Imagine neighborhoods where people checked in on each other, where loneliness was noticed and was addressed. Those things may sound small, but they're powerful. Because love works quietly but persistently, like water shaping stone over time. The important thing to remember is that God's love is not meant to stop with us. It's meant to flow through us. In other words, we're called to be carriers of God's love in this world. And the Apostle John put it very simply, "Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another." That sounds straightforward, but we know that it's not always easy. It's easy to love people who agree with us. It's easy to love people who treat us kindly. But the real challenge of Christian love is loving people who frustrate us, who may disappoint us, or see the world differently than we do. Jesus knew this. That's why he said something radical: love your enemies. He didn't say it would be easy. He simply said that it was the way of God. And every time we choose compassion instead of resentment, every time we forgive instead of holding a grudge, every time we offer kindness instead of criticism, we bring a little more of God's love into the world. Sometimes we think loving the world means doing something dramatic or heroic, but often it begins with very ordinary things. A phone call to someone who's lonely, a patient conversation with someone who's struggling, a moment of generosity when someone is in need. These acts may seem small, but they carry tremendous power. Think about how a single act of kindness can change someone's day. Sometimes it can even change the direction of a life. Mother Teresa once said, "Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love." And that's how God's love spreads from one person to another, quietly, faithfully, day by day. And before we can share love, however, we first must receive it. Many people struggle with that. We're often harder on ourselves than God ever is. We replay our mistakes. We carry guilt for things long past. We wonder if we are truly worthy of love. But the message of the gospel is clear. God's love is a gift. You don't earn it. You don't achieve it. You simply receive it. And when we truly allow ourselves to accept that love, something begins to change within us. Our hearts soften. Our patience grows. Our compassion deepens. We begin to see others the way that God sees them, not as problems, but as beloved children. The church itself is meant to be a living example of God's love, not a perfect community, but a caring one. A place where people are welcomed, a place where people are supported, a place where people can find hope. In a world where many feel isolated, the church can be a powerful witness simply by being a community that practices love. Listening to one another, encouraging one another, praying for one another. Those things matter more than we often realize. Because when people experience genuine love in a community of faith, they begin to see something of God. So today, we return to that simple but profound truth. God loves the world. God loves each one of us. And God calls us to share that love generously. The world may sometimes feel harsh and divided, but every act of love pushes back against that darkness. Every kind word, every forgiving heart, every compassionate gesture. These are the way God's love becomes visible. So I hope you take away something in your hearts today, knowing that in the big scheme of things, all you really need is love. And perhaps the prayer we carry with us this week is simply this: God, fill our hearts with your love so that through us the world might experience a little more hope, a little more kindness, and a little more of you. Amen.
Nothing you can do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. There's nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy. All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love, love. Love is all you need. Love, love, love. Love, love, love. Love, love, love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. There's nothing you can know that isn't known. There's nothing you can see that isn't shown. No way you can be that isn't where you meant to be. It's easy. All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. All you need is love. All together now. All you need is love. Everybody. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. 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 It's all you need.
Happy Earth Sunday to all of you out there wherever you are. If it's morning while you're watching this service, I hope it's glorious, and if it's evening, I hope it will be a restful and kind evening for you. As we do the prayers for the people, I will leave spaces between the sections that are written, and I would urge you to add your own petitions and thanksgivings as we go along. Let's pray. Creator God, on this Earth Sunday, we gather in gratitude for the living world you have entrusted to our care. As we celebrate the promise of resurrection in this Easter season, we remember that your renewing love extends to all creation, the soil, the waters, the air, every creature, each one of us. We pray for the earth, groaning under the weight of human activity and inaction. Where there is damage, bring healing. Where there is neglect, awaken responsibility. Inspire leaders, communities, and each of us to act with courage and compassion for the sake of future generations. We can do so much, even if it seems to be so little. Empower us, each of us, to make a difference. God of life, we pray for your church, called to bear witness to hope. In a world often marked by fear and uncertainty, help us to embody the peace of the risen Christ, offering welcome, justice, reconciliation, and above all, love. Creator, we live in hope that the new wars begun and the old wars raging on will end soon and through honest dialogue and negotiation. Help those involved in war-related negotiations to avoid bluster and threats. Help them see the lost lives, the families broken apart, the cities destroyed, the futility. Help the negotiators end these wars, which bring so much destruction, social fracture, and lingering hatred. Teach us instead, Creator, to sow peace and to let it grow. We remember those who suffer today, the sick, the grieving, the lonely, those facing hardship. Surround them with your comfort and strength. And help us, Creator, to be concrete signs of your care for them through what we accomplish in relationship with those around us. Creator, we ask that you illuminate our lives and help us to see the life and love you have for us now and when we enter your kingdom. Your love is incredible. It's not conditional. Your love is always present. Renew us, Creator, like you do the earth in springtime. Breathe your spirit into our lives that we may live as Easter people, faithful, hopeful, committed to the flourishing of all creation, knowing that always, always, we are so very beloved. We pray all these things in the name of Christ, our risen Lord, as we continue by praying his prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Take a moment to think of the gifts you have to offer God, not just your financial gifts, although those are necessary and appreciated, but all the gifts you have, your personality, your skills, your time. Imagine taking those gifts and offering them up to God. Gracious God, bless the gifts that we give and the gifts that we are. May each step of our journey lead us closer to you and your kingdom. And may our lives reveal your love to the world. Amen.
Go now into the world in peace, held in the love of God, guided by the light of Christ, and strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. May you carry grace into every encounter, hope into every uncertainty, and compassion into every place of need. And may the blessing of God, Creator, Christ, and Spirit rest upon you and remain with you today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.
His own.